evening and welcome tonight to our midweek service here at Heritage Baptist Church. We appreciate so much each one of you joining with us by way of the technology that is available for us now, and we're certainly glad to have you with us tonight. Pray that the message will be a blessing and an encouragement to you as we live during a time of a great pandemic. No, I'm not talking about the COVID-19 pandemic. Rather, I'm talking about a different pandemic, and it's the pandemic of loneliness. That's the most dangerous thing, because this pandemic is most certainly deadly. If you do a Google search of the words dangers of loneliness, it will reveal that there are many studies that have been done by various groups, various institutions, which show to us just how deadly and how dangerous this thing of loneliness really is. A fellow by the name of Ronald Wolheiser, he wrote a book called The Restless Heart. And here's what he had to say. He said, "Sometimes loneliness has led us to new heights of creativity. And sometimes it has led us to drugs, alcohol, and emotional paralysis. Sometimes it has moved us to a greater depth of openness toward God and others, to fuller life. And sometimes it has led us to jump off bridges to end life." Rollheiser also noted this. He said in his book, "Cell phones and instant messaging notwithstanding, our longing for meaningful connections seems to increase in direct proportion to our accessibility." In other words, even though we may strive to become more and more connected in this age in which we live, those connections invariably do not relieve the sense of loneliness that we feel. That's the reason why even those people that we would think of as being the most connected, many times they are the very same people who struggle with the reality of loneliness. For example, Albert Einstein, the world famous theoretical physicist, he once said this. He said, "It is strange to be known universally and yet to be so lonely." Albert Schweitzer, he was the award-winning Nobel Peace Prize winner in 1953. He said this. He said, "We are all so much together, but we are all dying of loneliness." Now, as you know, over the past several weeks, we've been dealing with some giants that all of us face from time to time in our lives, giants that are they're bigger than we are, they're stronger than we are, giants that seek to pull us away from God, giants that seek to pull us down into sin. And this evening, the giant that we want to consider is this giant of loneliness. The Bible teaches us that in the beginning, God created us for intimacy. He created us for companionship with other people. And in fact, even before sin entered into the world, after God looked over everything that He had made and declared that all of it was very good, yet the Bible says in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, that the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a help meet for him." In other words, God said, "I'm going to make a helper, a companion who is suitable, who is fitting for the man." And so that's why God created the woman. That's why many people today oftentimes feel so empty inside. It's simply because of the fact that they are missing that element of connection, that element of connecting with God and with other people. And so as we talk about this subject of loneliness this evening, three things that I want us to notice together. Number one, the defining of loneliness. The defining of loneliness. The word has been defined in the dictionary as being destitute of sympathetic or friendly companionship, intercourse, support, etc. Now, it's important that we make a distinction here. It's important that we make a distinction by comparing two things. First of all, consider the word solitude. Solitude. Solitude is a voluntary withdrawal from people. This can can be refreshing. It can be something that is rejuvenating. It can even be something that is enjoyable. The truth is, I personally enjoy times of solitude. Behind our house in North Carolina, we have a section of land that is wooded, and there are deer and other critters that live there in those woods, and they can be seen from time to time. And I enjoy going into those woods by myself. I enjoy going there where I can just be alone and be undisturbed. And the solitude of being alone with God and enjoy the solitude of observing His creation. That's what we're talking about when we talk about solitude. But on the other side, there is this thing, letter B, of loneliness. Loneliness is everywhere. In fact, I read where someone made the statement, loneliness is the most devastating disease of our society. And loneliness is most certainly a dangerous enemy in the Christian's life. One writer has explained the reason when he said this. He said, temptations that make little or no headway under normal conditions become almost irresistible in times of loneliness. And so therefore, many Christians in the grip of loneliness have basically given up the battle. And they've allowed Satan to strike some of his most devastating blows in their lives and to drag them down into a terrible place of misery, heartache, loneliness. The defining of loneliness. I want you to notice number two, the rising of loneliness. I believe the giant of loneliness will always rise up in our lives during hurtful times, during times that we're feeling pain. And let me just mention three things. I believe the giant of loneliness will rise up when we are feeling the feeling of rejection. Rejection. I heard about a man who was lonely. He decided he wanted to join a Lonely Hearts Club. So he sent them his photograph, and they sent back a note and said, sorry, we're not that lonely. While we may laugh at that, the fact is there are many people. There are many people who have sought friendships. There are many people who have tried to build relationships, but they have been slighted. They have been rejected. And as a result, they have this deep inner wound that has not healed. It's called a broken heart. I remember as a young man, Elmer's Glue in America used to advertise their product by saying, Elmer's Glue, it will mend anything except a broken heart. And there are many people who are suffering from broken hearts because of this thing of rejection. And because of the fact that they have this wound that has not healed, they simply do not find it in themselves to try again, to build relationships. Mark Twain, the American humorist, he once said this. He said, if a cat sits on a hot stove, he won't sit on a hot stove again. In fact, he won't sit on any stove again. And that's exactly how it is with many people. They have been burned. They have been hurt. They have been disappointed in some relationship. And therefore, they never want to take the chance on any relationship again. And as a result of the rejection that they have felt, they're lonely. They're lonely. Not only is rejection a cause that brings up the giant of loneliness, but there's also letter B, insecurity. There are many people who have basically never accepted themselves. They have feelings of insecurity for various reasons. Perhaps it's because of their appearance. or they feel insecure because of their weight or their social standing or any other number of things that we might mention. And because of their insecurity, they do not believe that since they cannot accept themselves, neither can anyone else. And because they feel that no one can accept them as they are, instead of building bridges that reach out to others, they subconsciously build walls and they close themselves in with the bars of their own self-pity. And as a result, they are lonely. They're lonely, lonely because of rejection, lonely because of insecurity. But then there's also many times those who face this giant of loneliness because of tragedy. Because of tragedy. Some people, through no fault of their own, will experience a great loss. It may be the loss of a cherished possession. It may be the loss of a loved one in death. It may be the loss of their own physical health. And as a result of these things that they have tragically lost, they begin to lose perspective. They begin to lose perspective. They begin to convince themselves that no one really understands and no one really cares about what they are facing. And the result is that this giant of loneliness rises up and he begins to rule in their life. You know, I think that's the very thing that Job experienced. You're familiar with the story of Job. You're familiar with the story of how that in just a very short time, he lost his wealth. Then he lost his children. And then he lost his own personal health. In a very short time, all of those tragic events came into his life. And as a result, as you read through the book, you find that Job really lost his perspective. In fact, listen to the lament of Job. It's found in Job chapter 19, verse 14 down to verse number 19. Here's what Job said. He said, "My kinsfolk have failed. And my familiar friends have forgotten me. They that dwell in mine house and my maids count me for a stranger. I am an alien in their sight. I called my servant, he gave me no answer. I entreated him with my mouth. My breath is strange to my wife. Though I entreated for the children's sake of mine own body, yea, young children despised me. I arose and they spake against me. All my inward friends abhorred me, and they whom I loved are turned against me." You see, Job had gone through such sorrow. Job had gone through such grieving over the tragic losses that had come into his life, that he turned his focus totally inward. He turned his focus totally inward and convinced himself that everybody else was against him. Everybody else was against him. In other words, as Adrian Rogers said, his sorrow set a prism of icicles around him. Because Job felt cut off, he felt unnoticed. He felt unloved, uncared for, unneeded, maybe even unnecessary. The giant of loneliness was able to rise up in his life and to rule for a time. Well, that brings us to the third point that I want us to notice this evening, and that is the defeating of loneliness. The defeating of loneliness. How do we get victory? How do we get victory over this giant that is so quick to rise up in our lives when we're facing difficult times and having hurts and feelings that go very deep? I heard about one man who was suffering from loneliness, and so he went to a psychiatrist. And he asked the psychiatrist, he said, "Please, doctor, I want you to make me to have a split personality." And the doctor asked him, "Well, why do you want to have a split personality?" And the man replied, "So I'll have somebody to talk to." That's not the way to cure loneliness, by the way. That's not the cure. That's not the answer for defeating the giant of loneliness. Let me mention three things that we as Christians need to do. As believers in Jesus Christ, three things that we need to do in order that we might have victory over this giant of loneliness that stalks the earth tonight and is bothering so many people. Letter A. As a believer in Jesus Christ, in order to defeat the giant of loneliness, we need to understand our identity. We need to understand, in other words, who we are. As you read through the Gospels, you know the Lord Jesus anticipated the cross. He knew what was going to soon transpire in his life, and as he was moving toward that terrible suffering that he would endure for the sin of all mankind, the Lord Jesus told his disciples in John chapter 16, verse 32, he said, "Behold, the hour cometh, yea, and now is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone." In other words, as the Lord Jesus was approaching the cross of Calvary, he knew that there was coming a time when all of his disciples are going to desert him. They're going to run away and they're going to leave him all alone. And of course, as you read through the story, you know that is exactly what happened. When the Lord Jesus was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane, the Bible tells us in Mark chapter 14 and verse number 50 that they all forsook him and fled. In other words, the disciples left him alone just as the Lord Jesus had said they would. Just exactly what he said would happen. That's what happened. But then he made an amazing statement. After telling him or telling them that they were all going to leave him alone, Jesus ended that statement in John 16:32 with these amazing words. He said, "And yet, even though you're all going to leave me, you're going to leave me alone, yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me." Now here's the thing, folks. If you have trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior, John chapter 1, verse 12 says, "As many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." And so if you have trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have that same identity that Jesus Christ had. Because just as God was the Father of the Lord Jesus, He's your Father. And He's my Father as well. He is our Father, and we are His children. And we have the wonderful promise then that is quoted in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, where it says, "He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." It was that same wonderful assurance that allowed the Apostle Paul, when he was under house arrest there in the city of Rome, it was that same wonderful assurance concerning the communion and the relationship that he had with God the Father. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16 and verse 17, the Apostle Paul said, during those dark days in his life, he said, "No man stood with me, but all men forsook me." Verse 17, "Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me." Everybody else has left. Everybody else has deserted me. But the Lord stood with me. The Lord stood with me and strengthened me. By the way, it was that same wonderful assurance that the songwriter had in mind when he penned the words of the hymn, "I've seen the lightning flashing and heard the thunder roll. I've felt sin's breakers dashing, trying to conquer my soul. I've heard the voice of the Savior telling me still to fight on. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone." We can defeat the giant of loneliness if we will understand the identity that we have as a child of God. But not only do we need to understand our identity, letter B, I think we need to understand our community. Understand our community. On the day of Pentecost, the Apostle Peter, you know, preached, and the Bible says in Acts chapter 2, verse 41, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." Joseph Benson, in his commentary on this verse, wrote this. He said, "Let it be observed here, they who are joined to Christ ought to join themselves to the disciples of Christ and be united with them. When we take God for our God, we must take His people for our people." And that is certainly the idea that we find in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, where we are given this wonderful encouragement, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. In other words, as believers in Jesus Christ, we need to understand that we are part of a community. It's called the church. And that in these days in which we live, we're not to forsake that, but rather we are to be busy encouraging, lifting up one another. That's what the word exhorting means. We're to be encouraging, lifting up one another, and so much the more as we see the day of Christ approaching, and surely His coming draws near. His coming draws near. And therefore, we need to be more earnestly, more diligently involved in this community we call our church, encouraging and supporting and helping one another. The giant of loneliness, we can defeat that giant if we understand our identity. We can defeat that giant if we will be faithful in our community. But then I want you to notice number three, or letter C. To defeat the giant of loneliness, we need to understand our purpose. We need to understand our purpose. In Proverbs chapter 18 and verse number 24, the wise man said this. He said, "A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother." Now, in this text that we have just read, Solomon is stating a simple fact that he had observed. This was an observation that he had made, that there are times when men and women will actually find a friend who is more constant. They'll find a friend who is more dependable than a natural born brother or sister. And Solomon observed that the people who find that kind of relationship, that kind of a close friend, are the very same people who have determined to be that type of friend to somebody else. Now, while this text is not a prophecy concerning the Lord Jesus, I know that many times we use the verse and we use it and we apply it to the Lord Jesus. But this verse is not a prophecy about the Lord Jesus. However, having said that, the Lord Jesus most certainly is the perfect picture of that type of friend. During His earthly ministry, the Lord Jesus proved His friendship by feeding the multitudes of people. He showed His friendship by healing the sick and cleansing the diseased. He showed His friendship by opening the eyes of the blind and the ears of the deaf. He showed His friendship by even raising the dead. But here's the key point that I want you to notice. Doing all of those good things, that was not His purpose. That was not His purpose. The Lord Jesus Himself, He did those good things so that He might fulfill His purpose. And He clearly stated His purpose, you remember. He clearly stated His purpose in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, when He said, "The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." In other words, all of the good things that the Lord Jesus did were simply things that He did to open the door that men might become receptive to the saving message that He offered to them. By the way, as believers in Jesus Christ, let me just tell you, that's our purpose as well. We have the very same purpose. That's why the Lord Jesus commanded us in Mark chapter 16 and verse number 15, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Someone has well said, they said this, "If you want to overcome loneliness, if you want to overcome loneliness, stop focusing on yourself and look for someone to help. Not by simply making their physical life better, but by introducing them to the Savior who can give to them a life that is abundant and eternal." And when we do that, when we are busy fulfilling the purpose that God has given to us, when we understand our purpose as a child of God is to be bringing others to faith in Him, then we will discover the sweet reality of the promise that the Lord Jesus gave in Matthew 28, verse 20, when He said, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Let me ask you a question tonight. Are you struggling? Are you struggling with this giant of loneliness? If so, let me just tell you that the key to defeating that strong and that frightening giant is, first of all, to make sure of your relationship with God, to know for sure that you have been forgiven, that you have been cleansed of your sin through the precious blood of Christ that was shed on the cross of Calvary. And that by putting your faith and trust in the provision that He made for you, you have been made to become a child of God. In order to overcome the giant of loneliness, you need to make sure of your relationship with God. And then you need to be faithfully fellowshipping in God's church with other believers. By the way, let me just tell you that fellowship is a lot more than just coffee and donuts. Now, please don't misunderstand. I love coffee and donuts, but that's not what fellowship is. Someone has described fellowship as two fellows in a ship rowing toward the same destination. Rowing toward the same destination. And so fellowship in the church is when we assemble ourselves together, so that we might lean on one another. We might encourage one another. And we might help one another as we, number three, strive to bring others to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that's our purpose. That's our purpose. So my prayer tonight is that God will take these few thoughts and help us to understand how that the giant of loneliness, oh, he's big, he's strong, but he can be overcome if we just follow the simple, practical teachings of God's Word.